G'day and welcome to Porsche Talk Radio. I'm Mark from Mark and Cars across most social media, and each week I'm joined by Ajmal, who you can follow as Flat Cap Driver. As a couple of car enthusiasts, we'll share our passion for all things automotive, modern, racing, classics, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about Porsches. We'll occasionally bring in guests that seem to continually demonstrate how little we actually know about these cars. We hope you enjoy today's show. Ajmal, welcome, my friend. Long time no talk.
I know it's been a while, hasn't it? It kind of drifts, but then I guess it's mostly your fault for going on holiday.
Yeah,
How was
holiday.
Bali?
Oh, unreal. It's a slice of paradise. No shortage of English tourists. You can tell by their shade of pink that as they
Not.
cook themselves in the sun with without the I guess being very sun smart while they're there, because it was actually quite warm. I want to say warm. It was hot. The sun itself was very hot, not just humid.
Because my brother was in Fiji, I think, around the same
Ah,
time.
yes, okay.
And obviously, it's all picturesque, and I'm sat here in the shitty British spring with, the thing is, by the way, everyone listening, welcome to the Porsche Talk Weather
Porscheweather.com.
Channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, I've sat here, and the temperature's suddenly gone from like, 5, 6, 7 to 15, 16, 17. But then at the same time, and when the sun's out, it's really, really nice to be out. I know. But then there's a storm. So a storm comes and it's windy every day. So every time you go out, it's a gale force wind.
Oh.
And yesterday it dropped back down to like 5 and 6 degrees.
Oh, bugger. This is that time of the year that we have where it's cool in the mornings but quite hot. Or it's, well, I won't say hot, it's very warm. Like, look, it's hot for you. Like every day this week's over 30 still, right? And but what happens is, because it's cool in the morning, you go to work with a jumper on. At the end of the week, you end up with five jumpers at work, right? And none at home on the weekend because you forget to bring them home if you travel, commute to work. So it's a look. Yep, Bali was amazing. I'll talk a bit more about it when we talk about some of the things we've done since we last spoke. Our previous published podcast was my interview with Renan Motorsport and Sam Shaheen on from car number 13 in the Carrera Cup, and it's been well received. Had some great feedback from some listeners, and I think it was a bit of a crack open of the door about what goes on to do that type of thing.
Well, I mean, it's funny you should say that because I went to the unveiling of the Porsche-sponsored Carrera Cup GB car
Oh,
at
yeah, okay.
the Porsche Reading. So they've got a new young driver. He's 18, James Wallace, and I had a quick chat with him. Great guy. Met his dad, and I think he's keen to come on.
Okay.
So the first, so he's gone from the GT4 RS, the Mercedes
Sure.
series to the GT3 race car, and obviously it's a
Yes.
factory car, so they're all
Sure.
exactly the same, just like they are in the
Yep.
Carrera Cup in Australia. And it'd be great to hear his thoughts, because he's gone from sort of ABS and traction control to nothing.
Yes.
Because I talked to him about the stages and the stuff that he had to go through
Okay.
to be selected, and it's quite the process. So I'm
Well, let's
messaging
get him on
in.
and have a chat to him about that in a bit more detail.
Yeah, and I wanted to wait until he's had his first race.
Yeah, okay. When's that scheduled for? You guys must be coming
I
into that
think
season.
it's yeah, it's what's the 16th of April today? I think it's the last weekend in April.
Okay. Yeah, not too far away then.
So a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, great.
And then yeah, hopefully we'll get him on and just really hear about what it's like at the sharp end.
Yeah, sounds good. Speaking of motorsport events, while we're on a roll, I was actually scheduled in to attend a an off-road classic rally event called the Burra in South Australia. However, the competitor, Zach from Retromotive has sadly done some damage to his car in the rally. I think it was a rally at Canberra or Canberra Rally or something, and brought over the East Coast there in the previous event. So I've had to postpone attending that event. But the Renen Motorsport, who we spoke to Mark Buick on the interview in the previous episode, that workshop's moving into a new facility, and in the coming about next month or so, and they're gonna have a big event there in Adelaide for that, which I'm planning to attend for the opening and unveiling of the new motorsport workshop with Zach and the team. So I'm looking forward to catching up with the guys again who I had spent an amazing time with at Melbourne at the Formula One for the Carrera Cup events, and yeah, have the opportunity to maybe also to visit the Bend Motorsport Park, which is an amazing facility there. We're just outside of Adelaide, so there's a bit coming down the chute there, motorsport wise. So listeners, expect to hear a bit more. Let us know if you want to hear any more about this type of stuff, or if you're thinking, "Oh, this is so boring, I need more weather talk." Just let us
Yeah,
know.
so it's good. We're always here for the weather talk.
Yeah, of course, of course. That goes without saying.
But I think the weather has meant that I haven't been out this year in my 912 yet, apart from bringing it home from storage.
Sure.
Now, are you ready to hear about my
Yeah, let's talk about
trials and
our let's
tribulations?
let's talk, yeah, let's talk about our cars. We'll start with you
Yeah,
and the
okay.
912. Let's hear it.
Okay, so last time we spoke, remember I kind of fucked it up a bit with trying to fit my 1-2-3 ignition, the distributor,
Yes.
in like 20 minutes between
Yes.
conference calls.
Yes,
And I
yes.
ran outside and I got it wrong. And it was like backfiring and all sorts. And I just thought, oh my God, what have I done? It wouldn't fire up. And then, you know, when you start thinking, right, I'm going to have to take the valve cover off, get top dead center.
Sure.
And then about a week ago, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and put the old one back in, and
Yep.
I'm going to try and fire it up. And you know when you said that it could get flipped around, so the rotor is pointing in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Now, if you look, if you can't actually do that because the two sort of what are they called? The two slots where the distributor fits into, they're slightly off center, so they can only fit
Okay,
in the.
sure.
It only fits snugly the one way.
Yeah.
So I had a proper look at it. I fitted the old one in, got it back to top dead center, fitted all the plug wires back in, and it fired up. Obviously awful because it always ran awful. And then I retraced my steps to do it again. And you know what had happened?
Tell me.
What? Because I rushed it, when I turned to get something, I nudged the distributor cap where I had it placed. So I put the plug leads on one slot out.
That old chestnut. I did ask you if that was the case.
So when you put it on, and you transfer the plug leads across, the rotor arm on top dead center isn't pointing in the same direction as the old one is.
Right.
So when you transfer the plug leads across, you have to go, well, number one plug
Is
has
now
to go
here.
where the new rotor is pointing,
Yes,
which isn't the
yes.
same as just transferring them over.
Sure.
So I just nudged it and I put them one out. So as soon as I put that in, boom, it fired up.
Fantastic.
And it fired up instantly, so which is great. So I just
Yes.
need to take it out for a drive now.
Yeah. Waiting for a weather improvement, I assume.
Yes. That's
Yeah,
going to happen soon.
that on my 356, while we're talking about that very same engine, last time I spoke to you, I put the alloy rocker covers on because I had the new types of rockers
Oh,
and all that sort of thing.
yes.
Yeah. So I've had a bit of oil leaking out of the bolt mounts where they mount. And I've been dicking around because they came with fiber washers to seal it, but that's not sealing it very well. I was worried about it venting, but then I sat down, had a good look at the mirror and realized, hang on, it actually vents. The crankcase does vent back through the oil filler and overflow
Yep.
tube, right? So what am I going to, that should be venting. So it's not too much crankcase pressure that's causing the leak. It's actually a lack of seal. So I've had it today, just today, I put some O-rings on those bolts under the washers and I'll see if that gets a good seal. If not, I'll face the area where the O-rings sit to try and get a better seal because it's a ripple black finish on the rocker covers
All right.
on the alloy. So I may have to face it to get a better seal, but I'll see how it looks once it. I've got to take it for a run. I haven't I took it for a drive after being away for 10 days, and it was like, it's a pretty grumpy car if you don't drive it regularly. But when you do drive it regularly, it repays you in spades. So it's as you're discovering with the lack of driving the 912, your first, 5 minutes out, it's going to be pretty average, I reckon.
Well, that also, I mean, at the moment, because while I only had it running for about 5 minutes, but oh my God, does it rev so much freely, more freely with that new distributor,
Distributor.
and it idles better.
Yeah,
But I
good.
think it probably needs a bit of tweaking on the carbs, because on the way back, the revs on the way down, it splutters a bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, you gotta
That's a
remember
problem.
that the idle has to be set up for hot and the car's
Yeah.
cold, right? So it is going to
Yes.
probably, you do have to keep it, in my opinion anyway, and I think it's a pretty standard opinion that you set your carbs up so that when your engine's hot, it's running ideally, not when your engine's running cold. So until it heats up and you get the full all fluids sorted out, it's probably going to be fine once it's up to temperature.
Yeah, I hope so.
Expansion linkages
Because
from heat in there, all that sort of stuff,
yeah, and one of the things that stopped me driving it on one of the days was that my 996 is parked in front of it, and the battery died on that because I hadn't driven it for so long. So I fully charged the battery on that. I've done quite a few long runs in it, so that's running great, apart from obviously the shock absorbers. And I think I told you about that couple of mice has moved into it.
What
Did I
has
tell
a
you about that?
mouse? No, tell us about that. I can't remember. Remind us.
Because I left, so I bought some new wipers.
Yes.
It's still in the boxes, and I left them in the front, and the mouse had eaten the box, and it looked like a nest. So I have now, this is huge news. There should be a drum roll. I have now vacuumed the car
What?
and put the new mats in the front.
Hang on. When you say vacuum, does that mean there's no pine needles left in there from Christmas 3 years ago?
There's no pine needles left in there at all. It's properly mats out, vacuumed, new mats in. It looks the business.
Oh, fantastic.
The battery's charged, and it runs great. But now, the shock absorbers. What I wanted to talk to you about
You mean the lack of
is
dampeners? Is that what you're talking about?
the lack of it's literally bouncing on the springs.
Yes.
So I've been looking, and it's about £1,000 to buy four
What is that? What brand
shock
are
absorbers. Bilstein,
they?
the
Okay,
kind of the
sure. The
OEM
gas ones,
replacement,
yeah.
right? So they just, straight up OEM style replacement.
Sure.
And again, I think they come without the spring and without the top mount, without the drop link. So,
Sure.
all of
It'll
that could end
literally
up.
just be the dampener, right?
But then I saw an ad for remanufactured dampers.
Right.
Now they are half the price, less than half the price. And I thought, there's got to be a catch here. They're £400,
Hang on,
sometimes
was it on
£100. There's got to be a
wish.com?
catch. No, it was some company like a AB Racing, BR Race, B Racing, something like that. It was
Okay.
a company that remanufactured. And I couldn't find anything definitive online to say this is good or bad. Now,
Sure.
for me, it's like, you either spend the grand and then get, a known quantity, or you go, I'll take a chance to spend £400 and you're throwing it away.
So once you've spent £1,400, right?
No, I just want to, I just think people must be buying them, right?
I don't
Surely.
know. The same way they buy crypto, I guess so. Yes, Ashmal. The
Well,
okay, here's a question I've got for you.
go on.
What's the blue ribbon standard that you could put in there?
What that I would want.
Yeah, what's best case scenario? What are you going in? What are you doing? Ollans?
I just want
KW?
OEM.
Just
No, I
OEM.
just want OEM. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Spend the money.
Well, I think the thing with
Don't you
the
only need to buy
remanufactured,
three?
No, I think I should probably get four.
it?
Because I can't remember what type it, the new one is, so I want to get four.
Sure.
And it's going to so transform it. And this is the thing that I have to get
Okay.
right, because this is the thing that's stopping me wanting to just go out for a drive.
Stop, hang on, wait. What should be considered on the £400 option, right, is they're that bad now, anything's going to be better.
I know, but I think for me it's more curiosity.
Yeah, okay.
Like, just yeah, because it's like, there's plenty of people out there, and it's about, making, for me, buying this 911 was always about 911 ownership on a budget.
Sure.
And so it was, to demonstrate to people that you could just go out and buy one. And so, I mean, I don't know if you've seen, there's a new-ish YouTube channel called Top Dead Center, TDC.
Don't know it.
And it's born out of, do you remember Car Throttle?
Yes.
So everyone who was on that channel has left. They've all
Right.
set up their own channels.
Right, okay.
The
And this is one of the
Autoalex,
characters off there, is it?
and this is, yeah, two guys from there. They've and the first car they've bought is a 996.
Sure.
And they've bought it from Copart. So it was literally on a rack. And a forklift truck picked it up and brought it down for them,
Yes,
and they
okay.
paid £5,000 for it.
Okay.
Now, when people say, well, okay, that's the cheapest one going, and you think, well, okay, that's cheaper, because it's been on that rack for 3 years, it's fire damaged inside and all the wiring looms burnt, it's awful looking, and they later on find out, sorry, spoiler alert, that it's been in an accident as well. But they get it fixed, and they're going to drive, on a budget, and they're going to drive it to the Nürburgring and all that stuff. And but you think, well, okay, if your average Joe bought that, it'd take you like 8, 9 grand to get that, in total, to get that working. So I still think I've still got a mega bargain. My 6,500
Yeah, for sure you did.
911 is
Well,
still
yours was
going.
an operating working car, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I literally jumped in and I was driving all over the place in it. I used it as my daily from the moment it arrived. But I think. Well,
They've bought the
that was the whole
equivalent of a box
purpose.
turd, haven't they?
Yes. Yep. Because looking, but now when I was trying to prove buying that on a budget, and anyone could go and buy one and run it, this is the only reason that I'm looking at these remanufactured
Sure.
things and going,
It's
well,
got merit.
actually, could I demonstrate that further? Like, if someone goes, oh, the damper's gone on my car, I need to spend X thousand pounds to getting it done. Or do you go, actually, for £400, I can get them delivered to my house and put them on myself?
Well, ultimately, the question you'd ask yourself is, when dampers shit themselves, what is it about them that does, and can that be part of it be fixed, right? The answer is yes. Okay. And look, let's face it, there's a lot better for the planet as well if you do buy a remanufactured product than a brand new product, right?
Exactly. So I don't
Have a
know
crack,
whether I
bugger
want
it.
to be the one to take the chance.
Oh, look, like you said, people must be buying them. I've got a better idea. Why don't you call them, the remanufacturer, and record the conversation for the podcast? Tell us, what do you do? What are you doing to these things? I'm curious too, Ajmal. And if I am, I'm sure listeners are. So,
Yeah, because if they're local, I could go and see them, couldn't I, and say,
yeah, of
show
course
us what you're
you could.
doing.
Or if they're not conveniently local, like let's say they're 150 miles away, get them on the horn. Say, look, we've got a podcast. We want to record. We want to talk about what you do to remanufacture these. Why are these so cheap? Answer my questions.
Because I think that's what it is. Because if they were 20% cheaper, you'd go, oh, okay, it still does exactly the same thing, but it's remanufactured. But when you go, actually, 60%
60%.
cheaper,
Yeah.
yeah, and you're like, so I smell something fishy here.
Yeah, all right, let's get them. Let's get it. Look, do us a favor. Do it. Record an interview with them, and come back, and we'll put it on the podcast.
Okay, deal.
Let's get to the
I
bottom
shall
of
do
this.
that.
Yeah, good one. GD4 news.
Oh yeah, what's happening? What's happening? Have you
I'm
been out
keeping
doing
it.
donuts?
I'm keeping it. It needs new tires. sometime in the next month or two. I need new tires before I go to the track again, but I'm not going to sell it. Look, there's people aren't buying them, and I've had a couple of lowball offers. It's worth more to me to keep, and I'm not in a situation where I've got finance hanging out over my head on it or anything like that. So, you know what, if I'm sitting on that car in 5 years' time, it's still going to be a thrill every time I drive it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is the reason I've kept throughout the pandemic and all of that my 996, because it's just sat there. You know, there's been times where it's sat there for 10 weeks and I've not bought in it. And then you just go, but I couldn't be without it.
I also have a car, a work car now, so I'm not using it as often.
A company car.
Yeah, that makes it
Are
sound
we allowed
very
to hear what
flash,
it
but
is? What is it? What is it?
it's the, as karma would have it, and the way the universe works, it's the brand I shit canned heavily not so long ago.
What, Lamborghini?
Renault.
Renault?
Yes.
A Renault? Which Renault is it?
It's a Kangoo. It's a
Espace.
van.
Oh,
Yeah.
at
But
least you can haul your parts in there and your
oh,
tires.
yeah. Wheels. Yeah, but no, but in all seriousness, it does the job.
Yeah. No,
So.
good, because I've got the option of getting a company car, so I get an allowance.
Yes.
And the most beneficial thing for my company is if I get an electric car.
Oof.
And I'm not ready for an electric car. So I've seen like loads of stuff about, the influencer YouTubers, motoring ones, they kind of do stuff in waves, don't they?
Yeah, of
They all do the
course.
same thing.
Yeah, of
Like, you know,
course.
they all buy the same type of old car, or they'll do the so suddenly they're all buying old electric cars. What's his name? Is it Scott Rasharosa? He's got one. Auto Alex has bought one with 450,000 miles on it, a Tesla Model S.
Yeah, okay.
The Car Wow guy, I've forgotten his name, Matt Watson, he's bought a 1,500-pound Nissan Leaf.
That's brutal.
And yeah, so he got 52 miles out of a full charge.
Look, not to plug other podcasts for a second, right? But
Yeah.
my little mate, Matt from the Smoking Tire,
Yeah. Your best bud.
he had a he interviewed the guy who runs Range, which is a electric trailer for trucks. It's a really interesting look. It's an interesting story, but that aside, he used to work for Tesla in product development, all this sort of stuff this guy did, right? And Matt Farah was talking to him about understanding the chemistry of batteries and the technology of batteries. And his experience and expertise in battery chemistry and engineering, most if you've got a electric car with a battery that is heat managed, right, with coolant, not an air-cooled battery, right, which sounds pretty cool, I've got to be honest with you, that's right, but
Yeah.
the
Do you keep it on point?
no, but if it's a heat managed battery system for cold or hot, the batteries in those cars are going to last a lot longer than people are expecting. Like a 200 to 300,000 mile Tesla at 8 to 10 years old, right, will in the current generation, once they get there, the current new Model 3s and the Model Ys, because of the tech they use, he's saying at 10 years old, you should still. There'd be no reason why you're not getting above 85% of original battery life.
Oh, that's interesting
Yeah, whereas
because
the older tech, right, is particularly air cooled, which the Nissan Leaf is, because he did use that example. He said a 15-year-old Nissan Leaf or a 10-year-old Nissan Leaf, you're going to be lucky to get the end of your driveway. Just that's how much impact it has on the vehicles. And he says Rivians as well. You know, there's going to be 20-year-old Rivians that are going to be 75% as good as when they were
see
bought.
that. But you know, the
Gives you
funny thing
hope.
is.
Gives you hope, doesn't it, that the tech isn't disposable?
Yeah, but you know the Nissan Leaf, the 52 miles of range, you know that's still 70% of its initial range.
Yeah, that's right.
But the
And
thing is, with
50 miles of
go
range,
on.
though, if you live in the city, that might be enough.
So the thing is, it's got to always be topped off. It's
Yeah,
got
but
to
it's like
always be
the,
plugged in.
what about the Golf e-Golfs? Aren't they that bad as well? Like they're
That was
the,
30 miles or something that had.
yeah, no.
From the factory, and you're like, what? But I think with the tests that I've seen with these super high mileage Model S's, they still have 200 plus mile range. And also,
And
it's the software.
that's old
That's
tech.
all tech, yeah.
So
And
look
it's
at,
way the way that soft. Because I was talking to my friend the other day, and he's got an I-Pace, a Jaguar I-Pace, and he had
sure.
a Model S and then a Model 3. And he said he likes the Jaguar. It's luxurious. It's a Jag. It's great. But he said all of the platform of the Tesla was different because they came at it from a different point of view. They came at it with electrification. Let's build a car around it. And then the software that you don't, it never plots you a journey without working out how much range you've got and where the superchargers are. Whereas you have to do that yourself in most of the other cars. And the thing I've always said is, there's cars that have been electrified by manufacturers, but there's people like Rivian and Tesla who are their car was born electric.
The
It's
technology
very different.
companies that build cars, not car companies that are building technology.
Exactly. And so I think, I mean, even with people going about, when we had Mark McCann on and he talked about the Taycan or what a brilliant car it is. But it's about the audience that you're pitching to as
Of
well.
course.
So, is everybody going to go, actually, I love a Porsche 911. I know I'll get a Taycan because it gives me the same experience. It doesn't. Then, I'd quite happily go back to, the Honda Insight kind of days where they made it super, super aerodynamic, super slim tires, maximum range, super efficient. I'd quite happily have a daily like that.
What was the Volkswagen they brought out of that styling from back in that day? Remember there was a VW?
Getting that day. I
You know, it
can't
had that sort
remember
of, you know,
now.
the covered in back wheels and looked like they all, like all those early electric cars had that funny
Well, even their new ones look like that, don't they? The ID, it still looks like that.
The no ID.
Yeah, it
But
still looks awful.
well, just to finish up on electric, just fin we'll finish up on this topic of electric cars. Well, since our last chat, you and I, Porsche released the Taycan GT
Oh yes, yeah. And
with a Vice
are you going to get a
Artifact.
drive in it? Are you going to get a drive in it?
I haven't reached out yet, but my plan will be to. Particularly, you know, the one without back seats and the cage in it, all that sort of stuff. We've got to, like, you got to have a go on a 1,000 horsepower Porsche, don't you? Have you got the
Oh
opportunity?
yeah, you got it. You got it. I mean, I've having experienced the Sport Plus mode in a Taycan.
Which is only three
And
quarters the power of this thing, yeah.
I don't know what I'd feel about driving one of those every day. I've driven, electric car short distances, Model S. I've driven one of those in ludicrous mode and given it the beans offline. Done that with a Taycan, but it's the day to day. I don't know how that would be. It'd probably be fine. It'd be one of those that you just go. It's a means to an end. It's not much different to how I perceive my, family wagon, my 1.6 turbo diesel Audi A3.
But get older,
It's
Tina. Let's
just
see if she can
getting to
get
a
you behind the
city.
wheel of one of the Taycan GTs as well, so we can compare notes.
Oh, I should go and talk to her. Do you know what? When I was there for that unveiling, there's a 911 Dakar there.
Oh, yeah.
And hang on, let me just see. So it's got no miles on it.
Okay.
And they've, I think somebody's bought it back to, was it swap out? Where's the, I did take a photo of the windscreen. 121,900 pounds. It has 21 miles on it.
How much is it, sorry?
222,000 miles. But miles, pounds.
So it's basically
222,000.
that's about the money that'd be here, I reckon.
But that's not new, though. was registered
It's taken
in
a
November
hit.
last year.
It's taken a depreciation hit, that car, I reckon. I
Yeah,
reckon that would have been
but
dearer than
21
that.
miles. Yeah, and 21 miles on it.
I actually think that could be the best 911 you could buy for a daily.
Oh God, yeah, especially with the roads over here.
Yeah, oh, yes, 100%. Yeah, right. But I'm thinking about even in town, even going to London and stuff like that, right? You know, the high, you know, the big high profile tires on it, the road, the ground clearance, if you're going to smack gutters, getting over
Oh God,
curbs,
yeah.
like a bit, like, and like, everyone that drives a Strato or a Dakar raves about them. Like Mark McCann reckons that
Yeah.
Strato is his favorite car, remember?
Yeah. 480 brake horsepower. Do you want to hear the finance?
Yeah, okay, go tell me.
So if you buy it over 30 months,
Yeah.
so it's 29 monthly payments of £1,598 a month.
Sure.
Your deposit is £85,000.
Chihuahua. What's your residual?
So your optional final payment is £125,000.
So you'd be into it. Hang on. 125 plus 85 down. Is that what you
Yep.
said? So you're at 220 there,
Hang
aren't
on,
you?
that does make
No, no,
sense.
210. 210, am I right there?
Yeah, 210.
But they're asking 220
Hang
for
on.
it. Is that, am I
Yeah,
numbers
yeah.
right there? Yeah, I don't know if
Yeah,
that sounds
two.
like a good deal to me, my friend.
222 is to buy it outright.
So after 30
85.
months, I'm still into it for 210, not including my monthly payments.
No.
I think you're frozen there on me, Ashmal. I'm hoping you'll
Right.
come. Yeah, sorry, go again. You froze on me for a second there.
Oh, your monthly payments add up to 136K,
Yep.
and then you've got 85 deposit.
So I've put
So
85
your
up front.
total, yeah. So your total amount payable is 257.
Yeah, but you've still got to cough up 120 at the end.
No, that's including that.
Now pull that out. Pull that out for a second, right?
Okay.
I have to front up before and after $210,000, right? Let's not include my monthly payments. My
Okay.
deposit and my last payment, right, is 210 grand. That's cash out of
So
my
how does that
pocket. That's
work?
cash out of my
That
pocket.
doesn't even make sense.
But my maths
Wait,
is
wait,
right,
but
isn't it?
wait. So 29 monthly payments of 1600 quid, right?
Yeah.
Deposit 85.
Yeah, so how much does that add up to?
Optional.
How much does that add up to?
Okay, so that is
You're killing me.
that's like
2900.
one.
Your finance doesn't sound like that good a deal right now, Ajmal. I'm going to be honest with you.
That sounds like that's over. Yeah, you're right. That's over 200.
1600 a month times 29, right?
Yeah.
That equals 46,000 pounds, right? 46,400.
Yeah.
So that's my cost. That's my privilege. That's actually my cost of ownership. Because I'm buying it for 221 and I'm at the end of it, I'm 210 into it.
Yeah, because if that, your cost, yeah, so 85 plus the 46.
No, plus the 120 at the end.
Oh yeah, plus the 120 at the end.
I've got to still got to
So
front some of
that,
that,
yeah,
don't I?
those, yeah, so it's 257. See, riveting listening.
Yeah, this is great. This is great, radio. Hey,
It is. Us trying to do maths and it's really painfully.
yeah, a couple of rocket scientists. I can't understand how we didn't get a job at NASA. Now
Yeah, I know.
on other Porsche news, seeing that you're not buying a Dakar now, following those calculations, right?
I know.
The The new Panamera got released as well for the 11 people in the world that care.
Yeah, I'm not one of those 11 people.
Look, I do like them, but there's just not a home for it. They're talking
So what
about
is it
gun.
now?
They're talking about gun
Because it's
electric.
hybrid.
Yeah, it's hybrid, right?
It's been hybrid for a while though, hasn't it?
Yeah, the top end one. I think they're all hybrid
Yeah.
now, is my understanding. But
Yeah.
they're talking about 2030 going full electric in the Panamera, and that seems like a bit of a crossover with the Taycan to me. But I don't know. Do we need two four-door saloons in the range? Electric four-door saloons?
Yeah, you
Well, one's
not at
more
all because
luxurious, right?
which one?
The Panamera.
Is it? Well, it's the uglier one
Let's
as well.
built on the Bentley GT platform. It shares a platform with Bentley GT, right?
But it's ugly though, isn't it? It's not a nice looking car.
Oh, do we want to start that conversation with a 996 owner?
No, but if it's, don't you dare badmouth my 996.
There you go. See, there are Panamera listeners out there, right? That are going, these guys are wankers,
But if you go Panamera next to a Taycan
Dacia.
Turismo,
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. What?
yeah, I do like a Dacia Duster.
Yeah.
But if you put those next to each other, you just think, well, okay, what they're not that different in terms of practically what you get. And if they're both
Sure.
electrified,
Yes.
then you're suddenly going, well, what's the point? It's a bit like when the new Defender came out, the Land Rover Defender.
Yeah.
And suddenly you go, well, actually the Defender's gone from being a really uncomfortable pure off-roader to actually being an all-rounder. Well, why is the Discovery still in the range?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, isn't there?
Yeah. And you start going, well, actually.
There's still.
And when people start buying it, they're going to go, well, actually, we'll can that.
Yeah, that's right. But it is what it is. Another car news. I may get access to a McLaren press car in the coming week.
What?
Which
Are
should
you allowed
that
to badmouth them?
look, those
If you
discussions are
don't
still
mind.
being had. Look, if from everything I've heard from other reviewers, the quality is improving. Right. And as a driving experience, they're pretty much like the 720S or the 750S as a driving car is pretty much everything's compared against it for comfort and speed and performance and handling. Right. As an all-rounder, it sounds like it's like the perfect sports car, just about. Right.
But when you say quality, how so?
Assembly.
Okay, so that for me is so of a car like that, it's not going to get the hammering like your family wagon
Of
does,
course.
or
Yep.
even a sporty hatch or anything like that.
Sure.
So it's, but then again, you don't want it to literally fall apart when you use it probably, 3 weekends every 3 months.
Now, I'm hoping McLaren aren't listening, but the only experience I've had in a McLaren is in a 720S that was brand new, like under 100 kilometers old. And when I closed the door, the roof ceiling panel that's attached to the door fell on top of my head.
Okay, so I listened to, I went for a walk just before we started talking. I'd been out for a walk because for a split second the sun came out, and I was listening to Spike's Car Radio, not plugging another, we don't want to plug other
Podcasts. Unless they're plugging
less well
ours.
listening to. Exactly. And Supercar Blondie was on there.
Oh, yeah, Alex.
Yeah, and she talked about McLaren and also Ferrari, and she said Ferrari are very, they're very particular. They're basically saying, I'm going to give you my press car, you need to tell the world how brilliant it is. And
Yeah, okay.
don't give your opinion.
Yeah, okay.
If you might go, actually, I don't like it. So she's like, okay, guys, I'm not going to work with you.
She has transcended the genre. that
Oh,
lady?
she is a brand now because she's about to launch. I think we're still plugging her brand now. But she's about to launch, I think,
Auction
an
platform? Yeah.
auction platform. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that's the case. Look, you know what? Maybe we should reach out to her. She's an Aussie. I'm an Aussie. Maybe she'll give us 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Have a chat to her.
Exactly.
But yeah, she
She's
is force of nature, that woman, when it comes to the car sector and the amount of followers, because she talks about the cars without the nerdy details that enthusiasts love.
Yeah, and I think that's probably obviously she's gone into a bit more detail as she's become and I think her talking about it at the beginning was probably how, like, you know, the average person in the street, someone goes, here's my car,
Sure.
I'm 720, yeah, go drive that, and how they talked about it, which is why it was so relatable. And I bet she gets a load of grief
Oh, can
from,
you imagine what her
I know, it
comments are
must be
like?
horrific.
She must be, she must have skin of leather to be able to
I
tolerate
know
it.
you'd have to,
Oh my
wouldn't
goodness.
you? Or,
Yeah.
but I mean, I'm sure sometimes it does affect people,
But even what
but you've got,
Lara gave us has told us about what she puts up with, and
yeah.
she's a 100th of the profile of Alex is from Supercar Blonde, isn't she?
Exactly. But I guess you're right, they're transcending it. You can almost go, actually, it's drowned out because there's so many people follow her because they want to see the content that all the naysayers and the
But she's got
whatever they
video. She's
are.
got videos with over 57 million views.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
That's big numbers, and that's Mr. Beast
Yeah.
material.
I know.
The
So she's branching out. She's become a proper, she is a full-on brand.
yes,
And it's
analyzable.
interesting. Yeah, and I think for anyone who thinks, who dismisses her, I'd say go and listen to that. I'm not promoting like
Yeah,
Fast Car
okay.
Radio, but
Yeah,
I'd
that's
go and
it.
listen to that episode with her on it.
Yeah, okay. Just if I can backpedal to McLaren for a second, I
Yeah.
just want to go, even though I'm a Porsche nutcase, I want them to succeed. I want the brand to succeed. I want them to continue as a Formula One team, and I want their road cars to be good. Now, everyone talks about they're good to drive, but I also want them to be a benchmark that can compete with Ferrari.
Yes,
That's
because
what I'd like to see out there, you know?
what's the current thinking on? Remember when they first came along and everyone said it's brilliant by every metric, but it's clinical.
Yeah, well, apparently the new ones fix that.
Oh, okay.
It's got a bit more,
Is it fake fixing?
no, I think they've put in, from what little I've heard to date, is that there is, they've removed a lot of the isolation of the cabin from the chassis, so you get more engine feel through the car. They're louder now. There's more intake noises, etc. So there's more of that type of thing. Like, they still have hydraulic steering, and there's not many sports cars left that do that, right? So their
Oh,
turning and
wow.
everything must be pretty amazing, you know. So
Yeah.
yeah, look, it's look, we'll see. I'll hopefully get access to that. I've got a meeting teed up, and I'll talk to you about that more when it comes. The on the car front, you've been sending me through a few little cars on Auto Trader lately. What's going on there, mate?
No,
Think
it's just
about
I was
jumping ship?
looking. No, I was looking at thinking I could sell my 912
Yes.
and get into a 991, a really good spec 991, good color. You know, people say, oh, but it's slightly higher mileage now. They're over 10 years old, but if they've got 60, 70, 80,000 miles, that's not
Did
high
that come out in
mileage.
2011? Isn't 991 2011 or
Yeah,
2012?
something like that.
Well, it's 20. It's
I feel
20.
like it's 2012.
Okay.
I feel
So
like, I
we're
don't know. It's
so 12 years
basically,
old, yeah.
yeah. So if you got one of the, dot one early ones with a really good spec, great conditions, full service history, and decent mileage, if you're not looking to just, it's not going to be an appreciating classic, not yet anyway, not in the near
No, but it'd be a
future.
bloody good driver.
Oh, bloody good. Just every day, totally reliable, easy to drive. Maybe too easy to drive, I don't know. But then,
Look, I know you love your 996, right? But I'll tell you this. You're replacing the wrong car.
I know, because they're so different. They're
Yeah.
different beasts.
You you'll regret not keeping an air-cooled car. You don't need two water-cooled Porsches in the garage.
Because the 996 would then move into the garage.
The 996, you know what? The 996 would be rotting worse on the driveway.
No, what happened is I would jack up one corner, try and take off a damper, snap a bolt, and then 15 years
Then leave it
later,
there.
it's still sat there.
And
It's just...
then your girls will inherit it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they'll be cursing me, digging it out.
Or by that point, they'll all have gone. There won't be any 996 left. They'll have disintegrated through various reasons, or they've got too expensive to repair or whatever, and you'll have a barn find.
There is that. I mean, let's face it, I could put it in the garage now and someone would find it and go, oh, that's a barn find. Just, no, it's just mucky. So I could sell it
Anyway,
as a barn find.
the cars you sent through, the 991, that one that had that custom exclusive
Yes.
manufacturer interior, mate, I was all over that. I'd have that like that. Without even flinching, I would
Just
have gone straight out and
the
bought it.
And the thing is, the options there are, you know, if you look, you've got the manuals, you've got the PDKs, you've got pretty much anything you want is out there or around about the same price as my 9, actually lower than the price of my 912. And so that kind of blew my mind a little bit. See, why isn't everybody just snapping these up? But then I used to think the same about an Aston
Hey,
Martin.
they built a lot of them.
That is true. That's why the 996 is so cheap.
So
It's
does that
so
mean if
much
you're
cheaper.
patient enough, you'll get a 991 for 6.5 grand?
I don't know. I'd have to download my consciousness into a machine to live that long.
I
But
wonder
I
where the
think.
floor is. They haven't hit the floor yet, right, on values,
No, no,
obviously,
no.
if you're
They're
looking at what
not.
you're doing. I
Yeah,
wonder how
I
much further
reckon.
it'll be.
I mean, if they got into the 20s, then because my car in its awful state, I reckon I could still get 12 for it.
Well, to give you an idea, right? No, after you showing me what's available, I went and looked at manual 991s here in Australia. I think the cheapest one I find is about 160 grand. So that's about £80,000.
What?
That's the cheapest one I've got. And they got that shit seven speed. I mean, that seven speed gearbox, it's not as good as the six speed that comes in the GT cars.
Yeah. Oh, that is
That's
crazy
the
money.
cheapest 991 I could find. And it was in
So
white.
that's double, more than
Yeah,
double.
your 991s are cheap, but let's face it, the floors are probably rusted out of the things by now anyway.
No, not for at least another 5 years.
To give you an idea of the difference in value of UK cars to Aussie cars, I was looking at 911s yesterday. There is two 997 turbo manuals for sale in Australia right now. One's a UK
Wow.
import and one is an Aussie delivered. All right. They both have comparable mileage, comparable condition. They were both primary colored, so they weren't PDS or anything like that. And the
Yep.
interiors were pretty similar. Not, you know, you wouldn't jump at one over the other. They're both sitting there saying that's 100% better to look at or better spec or anything like that. They're comparable, right? There's $100,000 difference in the asking price between the two.
Whoa, and is that
That's
because
how much for penalty for the UK car.
wow, and that's even if you got it inspected and it had zero rust and stuff like that.
That's just the value proposition of UK imported cars. Sadly, like the only affordable 964s you can buy in Australia these days are UK 964s.
Because the thing over here, a right. Remember when we had Brian on from Rint, and he said on a classic air-cooled 911 or a 912, there's a 40% premium on right-hand drive. So I guess yeah, that's kind of
Oh yeah, look,
vice versa
if
over
you were
here.
to sell your car, you would be so much better off going to the continent and getting rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know what the prices are over there, though.
Oh,
I don't know.
just the market is so much bigger.
Yeah, because mine is Italian delivered.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So Milan it came from, I think.
Yeah, look, that's exactly where I'd be going to sell it if I was you. If you're going down that path, selling it locally, I reckon it'll cost you money.
You reckon?
What I'm saying when I say cost, I mean you'll be leaving money on the table that's out there to be taken.
Right,
Because
okay.
the Italians with classic cars, they're pretty, they're half a starter. They're pretty keen in that country on a classic. And then it's like an Italian delivered car to them would be as important as a UK delivered car is to you.
Right.
That's if you were to go down that path.
Yeah, I mean, I have no plans to sell it, so I don't want to really, really use it this year, loads. But I wouldn't mind a go in a 991.
Why don't you go around and go and have a drive one?
I think I should check.
Call Tina.
I should
Tina will
check.
have a trade-in for sure that she'll get you, let you take for a spin.
Yeah, if she's got one with kind of normal mileage, she might let me drive it. If it's like something comes in and it's like that Dakar with 21 miles on it, no
No,
way I'm getting near
you're
that.
not going to get 991 with 21 miles on it. Porsche won't touch.
No.
Actually, Porsche probably won't even touch those cars. They'll just send them on. They won't resell them. They'll move
Yeah,
them on to a
they do.
wholesaler.
They do. It has to, I think it has to be either under warranty or it has to be one of their own service cars that they would sell on. But anything other than that, it literally, yeah, it just gets chucked
Send to a
out.
wholesaler.
Yeah. So I'll speak to her actually. Just like have a go.
On a slightly different topic,
Yeah.
I had my first roll of black and white film developed recently.
I
Now I've
did
gone
see
analog on some
that.
so I thought firstly getting black and white film developed here in Perth, not so easy. 2 weeks. What
Well, you didn't go to one of those
there's
within
one
the
no
hour.
the chemist didn't do it, no. The local
Oh.
pharmacy, right? The like back in the day. No, the there's only one black and white film developing lab in Perth. And yeah, so 2 weeks turnaround and you drop off a roll
Wow.
of film. And
Was it worth the wait?
I was for me, look at I've got a lot of work to do, a lot of but the vibe and the feel from what I'm getting from it is feeling more rewarding because of how long that process has taken.
Yeah. See, you've not thought about doing if you got an SLR, a digital SLR.
Yes, which I do have.
So if you compare the two.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, look, what I'm going to do, my next shoot, is I'm going to shoot both cameras.
Right. And then see what you think. Is it
And
worth a two wait kind of thing?
my iPhone.
So you're just going to see if it's worth the 2 week wait.
Not just that, just the feel of the finished product, how it looks to me and how it feels. Like, and I'm talking r untouched. Like, I haven't retouched any of my black and white photos. They've been developed and scanned, right?
Yep.
And how I have them is how they came off the film. They haven't been retouched by the photo lab either. They make that quite clear that, they have
Oh, nice.
standardized settings to that they punch out it with. So they don't do anything to retouch images through scan either. So, I think off the film, I'm pretty happy with how they all looked. I've got some flare happening in some of the photos, and I think it's because I might need a hood on the lens because it was in bright
Right.
sunlight. But that's I don't have one for that camera. I've only got one for my Sony, so the my digital. So.
So is this a new career?
Oh, I don't think, I'm not going to put Bart out of a job, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think he's worried. I think he's worried in
he's
Miami or
panicking.
wherever he's now. He's panicking. He's panicking.
I really don't think he is. And but the 911 that I shot with John Webb, who's got the 69 911 too, he was really happy with those photos.
Oh, good.
Yeah, with the black and white photos. So that was nice to hear. But anyway, it was a good it's been a fun process so far. So I will continue to do so. I've still got I think three or four boxes of film in the fridge, in the beer fridge in the garage. So I'll keep plugging away at it. I haven't really had the opportunity to get out and about because, like as you mentioned, I've been away. On that, I want to talk about the car manufacturing facility I visited in Indonesia in Bali when I was over there.
There's a car manufacturing facility in Bali.
Yes. Okay. It's called
Okay.
Tuxedo Studios, Tuxedo, right?
Is it Tuk Tuks?
They hand make classic replicas slash tribute cars, right?
Okay.
Now, interestingly, it's a quite a large facility. There would have been maybe 50, 60 people work there, right? They have all the wooden bucks for the models of cars they've made to date. Let me run through it. So, Speedster, 356 Speedster, 550 Spider, DB5.
Wow. Made from scratch.
Yeah, I'll come back to it in a sec. DB5. What else is there? Gullwing Mercedes, 300SL Gullwing Mercedes Coupe, right? The same buck can be used to make the Roadster. BMW 507 Coupe and Roadster.
Wow.
Toyota 2000 GT.
No,
Yep, yep.
isn't that a $1 million car in the
Multi-million
original?
dollar, multi-million dollar car. Yeah.
Yeah, it is
The
now, isn't it? Yeah.
now they with this buck, they hand roll and manufacture the bodies. Okay, all out of aluminium. Now,
Wow.
the speeds that they built is like a 500 kilo car because all aluminium, not
Wow.
steel, right? So it is,
Yeah.
and the Spider is like a 450 kilo car. So the now they do make, depending on the car, the chassis is a space frame chrome moly or a body on rail chassis, depending on the type of car.
Yeah.
That I saw a fully operational chassis for the 300SL that they were working on, and that had a some I think a V6 AMG motor, dual clutch.
Oh, wow.
So it's a modern drivetrain in it, and I saw there was a 300SL, three of them in process, I think. There's a 507 in process. There was. What else was there? The DB5, the 2000 GT. Now, what was amazing is aside from the wheels, the motor, and the steering wheel and gearbox, right? Everything else is made in-house, Ajmal. I'm
Wow, with those
talking
60 odd people.
badges. I'm talking fuel caps. I'm talking knock-ons for the wheels. I'm talking, mate. You should have seen it. It was stunning what they were building. Everything by hand, from pictures and measurements that the engineering team, they were all punching out on computers and then using the local
Wow.
labor to make out of brass, then chroming it or make out of aluminium or depending on what was needed at that moment in time. And the pieces, the accessory pieces for the 2000 GT, there would have been 500 different items on the table laid out. But this because they were assembling a 2000 GT while I was there.
Wow.
Now, this 2000 GT weighs about 600 kilos, right? Because aluminium on
Yeah.
a space frame chassis. It's got a 2JZ turbo motor in there that punches out about 650 horsepower.
That's insane.
Can you
Surely that's
imagine?
like a death trap.
Don't know if you've, like, I've seen one 2000 GT in real life in a museum once, but this is the first time I've got up
Never
close
seen.
and up closer, mate. They're tiny. They're
They are, yeah.
356 small, right?
Well,
So
because you know the one that was in the Bond movie?
yeah, they had to cut the roof off because the actor wouldn't fit in it.
Yeah,
That's why it ended
because
up being a
Sean Connery wouldn't
cabriolet.
fit in it. Yeah, that they're the and they've only ever made two convertibles for that film, so he would fit in it.
It's but it's
Wow.
a pretty little car, right? All of them
Yeah.
were. There's nearing completion was a 300SL and nearing completion was a DB5 and the 2000 GT. All those three were all in final assembly. Oh, they also had a 356 convertible D, which is sort of like the spiritual successor of a Speedster, if you know what 356 nutcases know what it is. But a convertible D is basically a Speedster body and windscreen, but with roll-up windows. is a simplistic way to describe
Yes.
it, right?
Because the speedster didn't have roll-up windows, did
No,
it?
it didn't have windows at all. It just had those drop-in perspexy
Yeah, the
things,
dropping
right?
ones, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
But overall, the cars looked unreal. I'm going to talk to them a bit more. I might end up going back up there again in the not too distant future to do some test driving with them.
Oh, really? For a bit of
Yeah,
work
work, yeah.
in Bali. I've got to go away for the weekend in Bali for work. That's going to go down well.
It's a lot closer for me to do it than you.
That is true. That is
It's
true.
actually a lot closer than Melbourne or Sydney for me as well.
Oh,
So
wow.
it's
That's
only 3 hours,
true.
30 minutes for me to get to Bali.
Jeez. Wow. That's like for me to get to, I don't know. Well, it's quicker to get to Rome for me from here.
So anyway,
Well,
that's
that's really interesting. Handmade. And they looked the business, did they?
Oh, mate, they looked unreal. But I'll tell you the really interesting thing is all the cars that have been built, none of the designers have ever seen one of them in real life.
Wow.
So all the
No.
details and everything they've gotten from images, from photographs, from historic drawings and blueprints that are available, no actual hands-on.
Wow. So you need to go back and drive one.
Yeah, I think so. And
It's the right
they seem like
thing.
half a starter on the on working doing a bit of workers. There's a couple of the guys I would have interviewed them to have on the podcast or to do a sound bite, 5 minute, 10 minute chat, but the accents were pretty strong. You know, it would have been challenging for a lot of the listeners, but there is
Yeah.
there are workers there who are English speakers as first language, so I didn't get access to those guys. No one that worked there, I reckon, was over 40 either, Ashma.
What? Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. I'm always amazed by this stuff that people build, and they build it in a way that you just think that's literally how it used to be done back in the day.
And you know what? The cars themselves, I reckon, are cheap.
Do you reckon?
Well, a full
Right-hand
handmade,
drive?
What's that?
Right-hand drive?
Whatever you
Right-hand
want.
drive?
But nearly everything built so far has
Oh.
been right-hand drive because, with the exception, I think, three cars that they've built to date, they're all gone to stayed in Indo, in Jakarta, to.
So, right, okay, and nearest markets are all right-hand drive.
Yes. And the company started in 2019.
Easy.
So they're only coming up 5 years old. But the
I might have to just like start a business and start 3D printing a car.
yeah, I don't know how sturdy it'll be.
Yeah, there is that.
I don't know if you want suspension components, 3D
3D
print.
printed.
Yeah, it might just be me.
I think it depends on the quality of your 3D printer.
I think you might be right.
Right,
So anyway,
I think we should call it
that's my
because
news. Yeah, that's my news
I
for
think
the week. The
I want to hear more about that next time.
all right, then we'll spend a bit more time on it. So thank you everyone for listening this long. And if you're new to the show, please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We love hearing from you all as well. So reach out to Ajmal, Flat Cap Driver, on social media, and I'm Mark in Cars. That's Mark with a C. We hope you are listening from behind the wheel. So until next time, see you later. See you, Ajmal.
Take it easy.